Welcome to Talking Politics. I'm AJ Feather. This week's episode is all about the midterm elections coming up next Tuesday. First, we have some analysis from Professor Terry Smith of Columbia College. Then Eli Oakley will join me to discuss several of the amendments you'll see on next week's ballot. Here's Professor Terry Smith.
There's a week to go before the election. Lots of races, especially for the U.S. Senate, are very close. Recently, I saw a good friend who follows polls closely and has good inside information about local races. Here is an amalgam of his comments and my views. Nationally, he believes Republicans will pick up 8 U.S. Senate seats, more than enough to claim the majority. There are some plausible scenarios for even more than 8. However, I'll be surprised if it's as many as 8. In the state, the only races are constitutional amendments. Almost all of them are products of the fierce battles between the Republican-controlled legislature and Governor Nixon. Nixon has blocked many GOP initiatives, so Republicans want to enshrine their policies in the Constitution. Can you tell I'm not a fan of messing with the Constitution for light and transient causes, regardless of which party or interest group is trying? But in Missouri, it's fairly easy to do, and there's lots of strange stuff already tacked onto it. There will be more after November 4. Locally, the Democratic leaning of Boone County should carry the day for Democratic candidates for county office. 3 local state house races have a free ride for their unopposed candidates to their seats. Nice work if you can get it. Caleb Rowden is being challenged in the 44th district, but in my opinion, not seriously. John Wright's challenger has a chance in a district that has a close partisan balance, but Democrats are taking the race seriously, and Representative Wright is spending lots of his own money. Former Representative Gracia Backer also has a chance to reclaim her old seat in Callaway County, but the district is now pretty Republican, and she'll have that to overcome. The key nationally is, as usual, turnout. If the marvelous Democratic turnout technology can approximate its effectiveness of 2 years ago, then they will do better than the polls currently show. If turnout is more like usual off-year elections, then it will be a very long night and a very long 2 years. For Democrats. This is Terry Smith.
Welcome back to Talking Politics. My name is AJ Feather, and I'm here with Eli Oakley of Politico and a contributor to the Joplin Globe and Politico. We're here to talk about the constitutional amendments that you'll be seeing on the ballot next week. Eli, thanks for coming in.
Hey, it's good to be here again.
We'll just walk through these and give them as much time as we can.
There's so many of them.
But first, could you give us an overview of this amendment number 2, which deals with propensity evidence?
Yeah, so this has to do with child sex offenders. Right now in most courts, the use of propensity evidence is banned. So what is propensity evidence? Well, propensity evidence is evidence regarding prior crimes that one's committed. So if you commit 3 of these acts before, and you're charged with them, you don't have to be convicted of anything. If you're just charged with them, they can use this. This amendment would allow them to use this evidence in court cases. So, the prosecutors all across the state are in support of this amendment. Where it's drawn some opposition is from people like the ACLU. And so their whole concern is this idea of double jeopardy. If you've gotten off of this crime 3 times prior, this amendment 2 would allow the evidence from those crimes to be brought back up again. A lot of the states have these, probably nearly half, have these sort of laws, and they haven't faced a ton of challenge yet in courts.
So it seems that if the people of the state of Missouri vote yes on this, that it'll probably go into effect.
No, definitely go into effect. At some point, it could get challenged on the federal level.
Okay. So we'll move along to Amendment number 6, early voting. It seems like the Democrats across the state have been in favor of early voting, but they also want weekends and nights.
Yeah.
But the Republicans don't seem to like that idea, and the clerks don't like it either.
You know, this is the Republicans' early voting plan, and it was proposed this spring in the House of Representatives. And it was passed by Republicans, which is something you don't see very often. It's not a policy Republicans really get behind very much. It's something that's really been sought after by Democrats for a long time, including Missouri Secretary of State Jason Kander. Now, he's come out against this proposal. What this proposal would do would allow a 6-day early voting period in the 2 weeks, starting 2 weeks before Election Day. And it wouldn't include nights or weekends. And that's where Democrats draw their concern. The whole idea of early voting, they argue, is that it should help folks who can't make it to the polls during the workday to be able to vote. And so that's the issue there. And Democrats are kind of putting up a fight this year.
All right. So currently we can vote early if we go to a county clerk's office, but we have to give them a reason that we won't be there on Election Day, correct?
Yeah, it's called absentee voting, and you have to be absent. So if you go to your county clerk's office and say, I'm going to be out of town, and you're not going to be out of town, I mean, you're technically perjuring yourself, and it's not something
that's not enforced.
It's not really incredibly enforced, but the law as it stands now doesn't allow anybody to go in and vote early if they're going to be in town. So that this would allow you to go in and vote early with no excuse, and you get to go into your county clerk's office and do it.
All right, so Republicans tend to be in favor of Amendment 6. They sort of drafted it, and Democrats want more than what Amendment 6 would give us.
The Democrats were pushing a plan earlier this year through the initiative petitioning process that was sort of they called it the Cadillac plan for early voting. It was a 6-week early voting plan that would allow nights and weekends too. They didn't get enough signatures, and so that they're not going to be on the ballot together this year.
We'll move on to Constitutional Amendment 10, which is the budgetary, control or restrictions on what the governor can do to the budget.
Yeah, it's a pretty wonky one. It kind of gets into the granular dealings of like how the governor and the legislature interact. And in recent years, Governor Nixon and the legislature have kind of gotten into it over a few tax cut issues, and to the point where Jay Nixon would withhold money that was appropriated by the legislature, sort of within a political fight about a tax cut issue. And so Nixon argued that there were preemptive withholds and trying to get ahead of the pending revenue cuts. And Republicans said, well, wait a second, you can't withhold money under the Constitution unless the actual revenue is shortfalled. So what this Amendment 10 would do would require the legislature to vote on any budget restriction put forward by the governor, just like they would any sort of like line item veto they do now.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on.
Hey, Taylor. It's good to be here again.
That's it for Talking Politics this week. Thanks to Eli Yokley for joining us in studio, and we'll be back next week on Election Day. Thanks for listening.